There's a book I stumbled across a while ago written by Noah Sanders, forward by Joel Salatin, called Born Again Dirt. And when I first saw this book on Amazon or wherever it was I was shopping online, it immediately grabbed my attention. And it grabbed my attention particularly because of its subtitle, which reads, Born Again Dirt, Farming to the Glory of God. That title is then further expanded with the description, Cultivating a Biblical Vision for God-Glorifying Agriculture. And when I read that, I thought, now that sounds like a refreshing premise for a book. I say it's refreshing since when one typically thinks about all things agriculture, from compost heaps to barnyard stalls, the glory of God isn't necessarily the first thing that comes to mind. And yet if you stop to think about it, the profession of agriculture is by design meant to be all about God's glory, since it's the profession of agriculture that God first assigned to man, you remember, to work and keep the garden, Genesis 2:15. Why? Well, for the good of creation and the glory of its creator. So I thought I'd give Noah's book a read, and I'll tell you, I wasn't disappointed. To give you a short synopsis of the book, the first thing I'd want to comment on is the book title itself, because while the subtitle is what drew me in and actually made me click Add to Cart, I'll admit to you that the title made me raise an eyebrow because the phrase Born Again Dirt sounds to me a little bit like an oxymoron. I mean, most people are familiar with where the phrase born again comes from. In Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where Jesus makes the salvation appeal, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, obviously, Jesus is talking about a person's soul there. One's soul must be reborn and remade into a new life that God's Spirit enables. So when I saw the title, Born Again Dirt, my first impression was, I'm afraid I don't see the connection there. How can dirt be reborn? But as I got to reading it, I can see how Noah's probably building into that phrase a bit of a double meaning, because from a biblical perspective, man was created from the dust of the ground. So in that line of thinking, we are the dirt that needs to be remade. But then it's not just man's soul that needs spiritual redemption, but quite literally, yes, the soil needs it too, because with the effects of sin, according to Genesis chapter 3, the ground was cursed because of us. The scripture says, in pain shall we eat from it. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. By the sweat of our brow we shall eat bread, until we return to the ground, for we are dust, and to dust we shall return. So I can see a double meaning in the title from that perspective. We need to be born again, and by extension, the ground we work needs to be born again, or I think a phrase that speaks a little clearer to the point is redeemed. The ground we work needs to be redeemed, and that phrase is also used a lot by the author, the idea of redeeming the dirt. Ultimately, we know God is the one who will ultimately accomplish that work when he one day remakes the heavens and the earth, undoing the effects of the fall. But in practical terms, one of the things Noah argues for is a redemption of the dirt in terms of how we as born-again Christians manage the dirt in a still fallen world. Does the Bible speak toward how Christians, specifically how Christian farmers, do agriculture from a gospel-centered perspective? And Noah makes the case that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Yes, the Bible speaks to this subject. And if you want the full explanation to the case he makes, you're going to have to go out and pick up a copy for yourself. But to try and summarize it for you, and by the way, my summary that doesn't follow the precise format or the chapter order that's used in the book. But after I finished reading this, what I picked up on were three major layers of thinking woven all throughout the book that are necessary for cultivating a biblical vision for God-glorifying agriculture. The first layer Noah seems to spread out for his readers is what I would simply call a biblical method of agriculture, or applying biblical methods of agriculture. Now, if you're like me, the suggestion that there are certain methods of farming out there that are more biblical than others can sound a bit presumptuous of God's will, since the last time I checked, I don't remember that many portions of Scripture where God tells us how we need to go about planting our carrots and potatoes, right? There aren't direct verses like that. And yet a closer look at Scripture, and not just Scripture, but a closer look at God's good design and creation itself, does offer us some very practical methods and approaches that we would be wise to apply. For example, there are both principles and patterns clearly intended by our Creator in His creation in respect to things like the role of soil in God's design and in what soil conditions things are meant to grow. Or the role of the seasons in God's design and how deliberate timing makes a difference. Or the role of symbiotic relationships in God's design and how a proper management or a proper balance of people, plants, and animals are supposed to work together. Or the role of rest in God's design and the practical purposes for that rest. There's so many things to point to. One of the specific things the book gives attention to, going back to God's good design for the soil, is a method of farming that adopts God's use of mulch in nature, or what another Christian farmer calls, and Noah quotes, calling God's blanket in nature, of recycled organic matter that, again, when you look at nature, seems to serve as God's intended ground cover for things to grow. So a lot is said about that, and there are other specifics that get talked about, but adopting biblical methods of agriculture is a big emphasis in the book. Second layer of discussion that gets a lot of attention is on what I'll call having a biblical manner in agriculture. It's not just about applying biblical methods, but going about those methods in a biblical way. We're not just concerned about strategies for growing tomatoes, but just as important is about how we are growing as people in our attitudes and actions. And I find this point to be particularly relevant for born-again Christians, right? Because the idea is we shouldn't be preoccupied only on cultivating fruitful ground, but we should be concentrating and focused on cultivating fruitful hearts as stewards of God's creation. Noah talks a lot about the importance of having an outlook or a worldview that acknowledges God as the real owner of all that we have and manage, and therefore to view ourselves very appropriately as just that, managers. We are stewards. We are ultimately subject to God. Our farms are His. And so what we want to do is develop faithful hearts that respect that. We want to be hardworking as His stewards. We want to be deliberate, diligent, wise. We want to be humble, able to admit our mistakes, joyful, knowing from whom we receive what we have. We want to grow in our faith, knowing that God is our ultimate provider. In short, we want to repent from sin and become like Christ, even in our farming. One of the chapters puts it this way, and I really appreciate how Noah says this. He says, our role as farmers who are born again or redeemed by the blood of Christ is an important one, but it's not an easy one. To embrace the role of a Christian farmer goes against our sinful, selfish natures. If we want to see agriculture renewed, if we want to see a healing of the land that has been torn by the effects of sin, if we want to see an abundance of fruitfulness that can't be matched by other farmers, then we need to surrender to Christ. Let Him create new hearts in us. So there is a biblical manner we want to have as we seek to conform to Christ and as we seek to be faithful in implementing biblical methods for managing what He gives us. I guess a third layer I'd point to is the emphasis that gets placed on going about all of that with a biblical motive. So having a biblical motive in agriculture, going back to the subtitle of the book. So yes, we're concerned with applying certain methods and we're concerned with going about those methods in a certain manner, but ultimately we want to do both, having a Godward motive. To what end should a Christian farmer go about his work? And the answer to that question is to the glory of God and for the good of our neighbors. And on this point, I love another statement that jumped out to me. Noah says, I know it's shocking, but if we want to have born again dirt, and remember what he means by that, if we want to see a real change in both the soil of our hearts and the soil of the ground, we must realize that farming isn't all about us. Again, we probably all agree with this, but it's easy to become selfish farmers, just like it's easy to become selfish in anything we do. He goes on to say, the goal of farming, or we might say the motive of farming, isn't just to make money off the land. The goal is to love God by reflecting His image as we care for His creation and produce food and fiber that provides for the needs of others. So the whole point behind our wanting to produce fruitful soil and to produce fruitful Christ-like souls is to give honor back to Him, to give honor to the Creator, and to serve our fellow brothers and sisters, to serve our neighbors, which is why I also appreciate how there's an entire section in here about the aim Christian farmers should have to produce food in such qualities and quantities that not only improve the industry, but serve their own families well, and serve the church well, and serve the less fortunate well, in giving a lot of that growth away to those in need. So all of those things, I think, are laid out as necessary layers to cultivating a biblical vision for agriculture. We want to implement biblical methods. We want to go about those things in a biblical manner, and ultimately we want to be led with a biblical motive to the glory of God. So that gives you, I hope, what is a fair synopsis of the book as I've thought through it. If you're interested in reading it for yourself, I'm going to throw a link down in the description of where you can order this. If you're interested in other materials by Noah Sanders, he's got a website out there, www.redeemingthedirt.com. I'm going to throw that in the description also. I hope you found this video helpful. Perhaps I can give some more book reviews in the future, but until then, I invite you to like, comment, subscribe to our channel. God bless, and thank you for watching.